Welcome to the Fandemic. This is a Facebook and YouTube live podcast show that celebrates all the things that we feel are awesome in hopes of spreading our fandom to you. After the live show airs, you can find the show on Spotify, Apple, and anywhere you find audio podcasts a little bit later. In the show, we dive deep into the hearts of fandoms.
Yes, sir.
And celebrate the things we love.
Yes, sir.
From sci-fi to fantasy, movies to TV shows.
Yes, sir.
Comics to video games. We explore the universes that have captured our imaginations and made us lifelong fans. Each week, we'll take you on a journey through the realms of awesomeness. Expect passionate discussion, in-depth analyses, things under the bed, many, many side quests. Fast. So whether you are a die-hard enthusiast or just dipping your toes in the fandom waters, the Fandemic is the place to be. I'm your host, the self-proclaimed Emperor of Awesome, Bradley Butin. And with me, I have the unverified twin of Carl Weathers in the mustache. The unverified twin of Dave Bautista in the head wrinkles. The unverified twin of Dwayne The Rock Johnson in the eyebrows. And the unverified twin of Shamar Moore in the nipples. How's it going, buddy?
I am fantastic. My name is Brian S. Dennis. With this week, the S stands for Philadelphia, sir. Because for you and I this weekend, that is where our worlds are going to be centered.
Yes, and welcome and thank you for tuning into the Fandemic of WrestleMania 40 predictions. Before we get going, Brian, I got a story to tell you. Because, you know,
hit me, my friend.
We had a skip last week. I was having some car issues and stuff like that. And I got to kind of explain what happened with all that stuff, man.
Right. So it was also Easter Sunday, so no worries, my friend. But let me hear it.
True that. So I guess it would have been a week ago Sunday when I had the car issues. But
okay.
Anyway, so I took Anna back to her mom. And I was on my way back. I was right outside of Boone. And the check engine light came on, and then the car wasn't running. I could just tell something's wrong.
We've all been there, like, uh-oh.
Yep.
Pretty much. For any of us that are not NPCs that are not from the area where Bradley and I reside, Boone is. Have you ever seen Deliverance? Turn that up to 11, and you've got Boone. All right.
Wheel boy.
Yeah. Yes, sir. Yeah. Yes, sir. Like, if you've ever seen Silence of the Lambs, Buffalo Bill would have been the mayor of Boone. But let's continue.
This is a fact. This is definitely a fact.
How odd is it that Buffalo Bill was like the dorky sergeant on Monk?
Yeah. I never thought of that until you put that into my brain, and I will never be able to unthink of that now.
Yes. So yes. At some point they should have built some weird thing with lotion into the show. like maybe Captain Sodomite's trying to put like lotion on his elbow. Like I would have built that in. Like,
oh,
you cannot, like, not that. Or like his wife would have fell down a well. Like, oh honey. Yeah. But anyway, by the way, the wife in Muck, Glenn Headley, RIP, was also the wife in Mr. Holland's Opus. She was, yes.
That is such a good movie. Mr. Holland's Opus.
A beyond wonderful movie. Incredible movie.
Yes. Oh, man. Nice.
But tell me about your story with the car, bro.
Oh, yeah. So I get home. Well, first of all, I stop at O'Reilly's to have it checked out, you know, like,
yes, sir.
What's going on? And it was none of the gauges were going out of whack. So I'm like, okay, I'm okay to drive a little bit, you know? They said it was like a PPP valve, exhaust stuff, whatever. I'm like, okay, cool. Well, ended up, we decided that, okay, you know what? This thing is going to cost us we're dropping a grand like every other month.
Oh, geez.
I think it's time to trade this thing
right? Yeah, time to upgrade, sir.
So we decided to put in a trade, and I drove it to work the next day on Monday. Mm-hmm. And when I left work, the check engine light was off. We're on our way to the car dealership, right? The check engine light went off.
Okay. All right.
Like, all right. Well, so this is just like, you know, a sign.
I'm seeing this ending like Christine. Like the car's alive in the whole deal. All right, hit me.
So end up going, we trade it off. I get a new car, awesome car. I got an Chevy Equinox.
Nice, good car, good car.
We get a call, or we get my, Kaylee got a text message from the car salesman 2 days later. Mm-hmm. The car died on its way to auction. Died.
Yo.
Yeah, he's like, you guys dodged a huge bullet. You traded at the right time.
For real, yes. My friend. Yes, sir.
I didn't win the lottery. I didn't win the $1 billion.
Okay.
But I dodged that Kia Soul size bullet.
Nice. Nice. So, real quick tangent, as we're known to do, in a death battle, who wins, Kit or Christine?
Oh, dude, I don't want to answer this. But I'm going to say, Christine. Christine's facts. A crazy.
She's, Yeah, Christine's got a little rage. Kit's kind of like very intellectual.
Right.
I feel like he would try to negotiate with her. But then Kit's is like, I mean, Christine is like, no, F your feelings.
Right.
And it's over. And it's over.
Yeah. Christine's like, you know, Kit, you may be from the 80s. I'm from the 60s. Mm-hmm. But like, you got nothing on my crazy.
Like, yeah, dude, you might be a Trans Am. I forget the exact make and model Kit was. I think Kit was a Trans Am.
Yep.
Versus Christine's a muscle car. Like, dude, yeah, this is happening.
Yeah.
This absolutely. Is happening. Yeah. Yeah.
To make it a triple threat, what about the Supernatural, the 67 Impala? Is it
67 Impala. It's like, the fact that the car came back, I don't know how many times after being destroyed, just like the brothers did.
Yeah.
I'm going to go with the Impala.
Yeah.
Plus, it's a flipping Impala, man.
Right.
It's a flip. Like, even if you lose, if you got to go Thelma and Louise, like off the cliff at the Grand Canyon, right?
Right.
Going out in an Impala, the only thing that would top that would be a legit, legit DeLorean.
Agree.
Like, and by the way, if anyone doesn't know, hopefully anybody listening to this podcast know DeLorean is a car from Back to the Future. Mm-hmm. But the real DeLoreans were horrible cars.
Yeah.
They look good, but they were horrible. Like the guy that came with DeLorean, like he bankrupted the company. Like they were horrible vehicles. The only thing that made the DeLorean a thing was Back to the Future, mm-hmm. right? So I'm just thinking, I want the flux capacitor going off in the background. I want the tire tracks on fire that's leading off the cliff to the Grand Canyon. And I'd be that to with you like, Brad, let's keep going. Let's not stop. That's my best Thelma and Louise impersonation.
So here's how and I picture the off. Scene.
Yes, sir.
I picture the scene like it's you and me, right? We're going Thelma and Louise. We're in a DeLorean.
Facts.
And the reason why we go off
you got to sleep with Brad Pitt, though. You got to sleep with Brad Pitt.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. I love you. Hey, that's my boy is like, sure. Hey, sure. For the pod, I got you. Yep, I got you. My boy asked
you hear that, Brad?
Brad Pitt. That's right. I got you.
We can be Bradleys together.
Yes.
We just didn't hit Angelina 66 Jolie, miles an hour.
Angelina Jolie, Jennifer Aniston, Bradley Buten. He's got a tight.
So, you know, that's actually a good question. So if the DeLorean mm-hmm. goes off the edge, right, and is in a free fall, and it hits 66 miles per hour, would it go back in time?
I actually, sadly, think I know the answer. I have a bunch of friends that are mechanics. What determines the speed of the car is the drivetrain moving. So once you drove off the cliff, the tires no longer have any friction. That doesn't speed up the transmission or the drivetrain. The actual RPMs would drop to zero. So you just, and again, I can't whistle today because, you know, cocktails, but splat. But even if you completely is blown apart, the fact is you went out in a DeLorean. Like, that's a boss story to tell.
Right. Well, I mean, I can see Leia.
Right. I can see Leia, you know, it would be like Armageddon. Mm-hmm. Like, they'd have the picture of you, me, like I gave you top billing.
Yeah.
You.
I me, like it. Yeah.
Then the DeLorean with Aerosmith. That's the most baller funeral with Aerosmith playing in the background and just Leia, just like, you know what? They went out the way they would have, where they wanted to go out in a damn DeLorean, right?
Yep. Man, I can see us opening up the doors, see it as we could fly at the right at the end, you know, to make the landing.
Right. And I think you've heard the fan theory with the movie Grease, the reason that at the end of Grease the car flies off is that what we see in the movie Grease is Sandy, if you notice the story of Grease, mm-hmm. Sandy says she met Johnny when he rescued her. I think it was Johnny or Danny. I get Danny Zuko. Yeah, I get that. And the Outsiders confused.
Yeah.
By the way, why was Danny not in the Outsiders? Warriors! Okay.
Good question. But
he saved her from drowning. The fan theory is she actually wasn't saved. So she sees him. He's maybe trying to do CPR. So the entire movie that we see is Grease, is her fantasy as she's dying. And at the end, the reason that her and Danny fly off in the car is that she actually dies. And that's her soul leaving her body. Like, that's one of the thought processes of it. Then the other thing is, and I've heard this from friends of mine that go, the message of Grease is a little problematic. Yeah. That Sandy is smart, independent, all the things, but she changes herself to get the guy at the end.
Right. So like, Tell me about it, stud.
Tell me about it, stud. By the way, I wanted to move to Australia after that scene. I'm like, so there's a whole country of her, and everybody's got hyphenated last names. I'm on my way. Put me on a plane.
Right. And then they're like, and everything wants to kill you. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't care. Yes. We're going. We're doing it.
Speaking of that, I know we're going to get to our movies and shows of the week before we get to our WrestleMania review or preview. Have you seen, it didn't make my list, but it should have. Have you seen the show called The Tourist on Netflix?
I have not.
It is
it's on my queue.
So two things. It stars the guy from 50 Shades of Grey, who played Christian Grey. Don't let that throw you.
Jamie Dornan, yeah.
Yeah, I didn't know who the hell he was, and I went, and I had to Google, like, 50 Shades of Grey, explain why by the way, if that's your jam, watch The Secretary with James Spader and Maggie Gyllenhaal. Much better movie.
It is a lot better movie.
He's named Mr. Grey, and the movie and the story for the movie predates the 50 Shades books. So, couple things there. Secondly, though, he stars in a show in a show called The Tourist. The second season just dropped on Netflix a couple weeks ago. And the whole idea of it is, imagine Breaking Bad and Memento, but in the Australian outback.
Okay.
Fantastic.
Okay. Awesome.
He has no memory. It stars a lot of people you've seen in other movies and shows. It's flipping fantastic. So that's my drop. Didn't make my list. And we're going to start on list in a minute. But I would really suggest anyone listening to this, check out The Tourist. It has two seasons. Second season is dropped on Netflix. Fantastic.
Excellent. Well, let's go right into our favorites. All right. Let's go TV show, movies. What's your favorite thing?
I got a movie and a couple shows. Three shows, actually. So my movie, I haven't gotten out to see. I bet what's going to make some of your favorite movies. But I actually checked this out on Amazon, which is American Fiction. So it was nominated for the Academy Award, lost to Oppenheimer. By the way, congrats to Oppenheimer. I bet you if they did the total votes, American Fiction probably should have been a second.
Is it streaming or is it?
It is streaming on Amazon.
Okay, I'll be watching
Amazon and MGM Plus. I think it's streaming on both. Jeffrey Wright, who we officially know as the Watcher from What If. Sterling K. Brown, if you've ever watched This Is Us, Issa Rae. There's a fantastic cast, multi-layer story, lots of funny moments, lots of sad moments, beautifully done, really good. And then I see the princesses behind you, so I'll hush real quick so we can get her cameo in. And then my shows of the fact, let's do Miss Leia first.
Hey, Leia.
Join us first.
Come here, talk to Brian for a second. And we're talking about our predictions for WrestleMania. So why don't you tell us what are some of the things that you're like right now, and then who are you looking forward to for WrestleMania? And here you go. Have the microphone and have the headphones.
Okay. Hello.
Hello, Princess. How are you?
Good. Also, you might hear a little bit of background noise because I might turn on a little song.
Don't let her lay it, but you have to talk in here.
I will.
You can't play that because it's copyrighted. So no.
Oh no, can't play it. Cannot play it. All right. So
it was a pie song.
That's okay. Tell me, I know you watch Wrestle with Your Dad and probably dig it. Who's your favorite wrestler?
Liv Morgan, Sasha Banks, or Alexa Bliss.
Okay, so Unfortunately, her name is no longer Sasha Banks. It's like Monet.
Marilyn Monroe or something.
Sorta. And then I heard you say Liv Tyler. Not Liv, Liv Morgan. Tyler, Liv Morgan. Yeah, Liv Tyler. That's a whole other deal. I go and close my eyes. So I heard Liv Tyler. I heard Liv Tyler did it again. Liv Morgan, Sasha Banks, or formerly known as, and then who's your third one?
Alexa Bliss.
No Rhea Ripley?
I hate Rhea Ripley.
What?
I don't like Rhea Ripley. She's
okay, Alexa stupid. Bliss and Liv Morgan are
basically... She is not stupid. Rhea Ripley's amazing.
No, Rhea Ripley, I just okay, don't hang like on. Her.
Liv Morgan and Alexa Bliss are basically the same person.
No, they're not.
They really are.
No, they're not.
Give me three ways they're different.
Well, first of all, their styles are completely different.
Their sizes all, or their songs?
No. No. Their styles.
Oh, styles. I would disagree, but okay. All right, their styles are different.
It's true, though. Have you seen 2021 Alexa Bliss versus Liv Morgan?
Yes, and I also have known Alexa Bliss when she was Sister Abigail, when she was with the Wyatt family.
Who's Sister Abigail?
See, you're talking to a fan. So anyway, I'll get, but fine. Okay, so get. Okay, so their styles are different. Give me two more ways you say they're different.
Well, another one is they're technically two different people.
Fair.
Yeah.
Fair. That's two reasons. Give me a third.
And a third reason is...
Yeah, I'm waiting.
They have two different voices. They have two completely different roles in WWE.
Yeah, one's out on maternity leave, and one isn't even involved in WrestleMania. So, sure.
Okay, neither of them are in WrestleMania. But Alexa Bliss was in a WrestleMania, I think, once.
And I prefer Alexa Bliss to Liv Morgan. By the way, I think they're both really good. I just think they're also both very, I think they're two very similar wrestlers. I do. And that's fine.
Sasha Banks is in AEW now.
I don't care about AEW. She has to come back to WWE or else I will.
I don't think we will ever see her back in WWE, at least not for a while.
That's just stupid. I mean, like, half of my favorite wrestlers are gone.
Who's the other? Who are your other favorites? I know me and your dad have to get started, but who are your other favorite wrestlers?
Who is that?
Oh, no, just one more. Who's one more person you really like? Say our truth.
Why don't you finish up talking to Brian?
Say our truth.
It's not our truth.
It should be our truth.
I mean, our truth is funny.
What's up?
Our truth is very funny.
The answer is always our truth.
Our truth is very funny, but he's like not one of my favorites. If I had to pick a boy wrestler, it would be Cody Rhodes.
Really?
Yeah. Or Ricochet. Ricochet's really cool.
Ricochet's good, but remember, Cody, there's more than one Raw family and professional wrestling. Now give, and if you don't get that, that's perfectly cool. Hey, by the way, her name is Mercedes Moné in AEW. That's Sasha Banks' new name. I like Sasha Banks better, but she is the CEO, which plays off the boss. And with that, it's been wonderful talking to you, Princess Leia. Can I talk to your dad?
No.
Well, come on. We have an audience waiting for your pops. Let's talk to your dad.
Well, like, you get to talk to him a lot more than me, so.
You live with him. Oh, yeah. But okay. You are more fun. You are more fun and way cuter.
Thank you.
Absolutely.
See, I just out-cuted you. Ha! Okay. And outfunded you. I'm funner than you. Hey! I'm better than you.
You can be funner than me.
Let's clarify for that. I did not say she was funner than you. I did say she was cuter.
He says he's cooler because he has more cool points, but I got all his cool points plus my mom's, meaning I'm more cooler than him because I have both their DNAs. Ha!
Dude, she just out-scienced you. She went straight up DNA.
Yeah.
That means by genetics, she's 50% nerd. So, hey, good
it's job true. Out of you. It's true. All right, kiddo. Say hi bye.
If you like soda, side eye.
Okay. All right.
Bye-bye.
Stay healthy and drink a lot of water. Soda's disgusting.
Okay. All right.
Fair.
See you later. Fair. I'll be upstairs in a little while. Okay, Brad.
By the way, Brad, you know what's not disgusting? Pineapple juice and tequila. Just saying. All right. Let's do it.
Nice.
Let's do it.
I couldn't do the pineapple juice, but You had me at tequila.
I'm gonna stop. I'm gonna be like, pineapple juice depends on, never mind. I'll stop there. I'm allergic. Stop there. Okay, well, never mind. I'm gonna leave it alone. Okay, yep. With that being said, that's a things under the bed comment. All right, so my shows of the week. One, if you've not watched, you should. Three Body Problem. It is fantastic.
I'm two episodes in.
Very cool. And then the other two, which I get a feeling we both have watched. Have you caught up on the second half of season two of Invincible?
Oh, yes.
Did you see the episode that dropped last week?
It
would have been.
So was that the.
It's the one where the female Vitramite shows up.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. That's fantastic. And of course, Alan the Alien. God love him.
Dude.
And then, of course, four episodes in, if you call it this week's or not, X-Men 97.
Yes, I have definitely watched. I haven't watched Bad Batch today.
Okay.
But
okay.
I did watch X-Men 97.
Yeah, yeah. I'll catch up with Bad Batch after we get done.
I love X-Men 97.
This, because that last season of X-Men 90, well, X-Men,
yeah,
what they would have called it, TAS, you could tell they didn't, I mean, it was a shorter season, things, mm-hmm. and they were doing, they have made, again, my only gripe, and I said that I text you after I watched the first episode, I hate, Magneto's uniform.
Yeah.
Beyond, because they took away the helmet. That's such a Magneto thing. But beyond that, the way, and dude, this week's episode was really good, but my favorite has been last week's episode where they gave us who will become Cable.
Mm-hmm.
My son walked in, he goes, Cable, right? I'm like, 100%, that's Cable. And they're giving us the entire, I mean, they gave us the Goblin Queen.
Yep.
They gave us the Techno Organic Virus. If you don't know Cable's backstory, don't worry about it. All the things, the way they did the Madeline Pryor, Jean Grey dynamic.
Mm-hmm.
And I love the whole, you know, as it should be, the whole rogue Magneto dynamic, but Gambit trying to smooth his way through it.
Yeah.
And and Magneto's going, hey, I got your boo. Like, no matter how joking, like, you trying to be smooth and you don't care, I'm keeping your feelings, Remy.
Yep.
Like, I ain't going to let this go, Remy. I just love it.
And we have Gambit's crop top t-shirt.
Well, it's more 80s than 90s, but oh, yeah. That cat would have wore that in the 90s.
100%. He'd be walking down,
With like the Southern mullet that's mm-hmm. hanging out in the back, you know, yeah. In the front, party in the back. Absolutely.
Mississippi mud kicker, Canadian passport.
Bruh.
Yeah.
Bruh. And my favorite thing also is Rogue kept them cakes. Rogue kept them cakes. Whoever draws Rogue, we appreciate you.
We do.
We yes. see you. And as a nerd in the 90s, thank you. Thank you.
We will take a moment of silence.
Yes. For my mom who did my laundry, not so much. But, and I'm sorry, mom, but for the person, the artist or artist, and probably guessing your male, we appreciate you.
Yeah.
All right, sir. What about you, my friend?
All right. So, well, pretty much all the same TV shows, but one, okay. Brian. Okay.
Yes, sir.
Did you know that there is a show that is Jeffrey Wright in it? Vin Diesel's a producer, along with Gerard Butler, Russell Crowe, who also do some acting, some voice acting in it, along with Elliot Page and David Tennant.
What show is this?
It is streaming on Paramount Plus.
Okay.
And it is Arc, the animated series. And
how is it? Have you watched? How is
it? Oh, dude.
Is it worth it?
Yes, I okay. loved it.
But that talent, it so better much. Be good. It better yeah. be good. Yes.
Yeah. The main producers is Vin Diesel, okay. Gerard Butler, and Russell Crowe. And Gerard Butler has a pretty decent role in it too.
Nice.
David Tennant nice. Is a lot of them are smaller. But
sure. Sure.
Like, man, Jeffrey Rice is a little smaller, but man, like.
Well, any Jeffrey Rice is incredible. Jeffrey Wright. I mean,
yeah,
seriously.
Yeah.
Seriously, so that is very cool.
Yeah,
I heard you say Elliot Page is also in it. That is mm-hmm. very cool. I mean, that's I am really excited for, and I keep trying to look for the actual release date. Well, let me ask you. I'm a huge Umbrella Academy fan,
mm-hmm.
As well as a Stranger Things fan. Which of these are you? And I think it's going to be the last season for both. Which are you more excited for? Stranger Things season 5 or Umbrella Academy season 4?
I'm going to say Stranger Things on this one.
Okay.
I like Umbrella Academy, but man, like the Stranger Things just takes me back to my childhood, you know?
Yeah, I rewatched the whole deal over the past couple of weeks to start from episode 1, and it gets stronger every season. They add people, they flesh out characters, they have them grow. Not only the core four that really the primary kids, but all the ancillary people. And I love the fact that while Winona Ryder is supposedly the star of the show, you know, it's Eleven, it's Will, it's that entire crew. That's, I think it was season 3 where they have where Dustin sings the theme song from Neverending Story to his girlfriend. I mean, I was Dustin. Okay, a little bit different melanin content, but I was Dustin. Like, and I was like, that would have been me. The first girl that dug me, that my nerdiness didn't scare her off and she appreciated it. You dang Skippy. Turn around. Oh, yeah, I was there. I was there with my boy. I'm like, I'm with you, Dustin. So I'm with you.
You brought up Umbrella Academy. Have you had a chance to see Godzilla X Kong yet? Okay, so we need to go as soon as possible after WrestleMania.
Yes, sir.
Because it was so good. I just did a Fandemically review of it. I don't know when I'm going to put it out. I might put it out tomorrow. We'll see.
Okay.
But one of the writers is Jeremy. Oh crap! I can't remember his. Let me look that up really quick. Jeremy Slater.
Okay.
Who is credited as the creator of Umbrella Academy?
Really?
Is one of the writers of Godzilla Kong.
Nice.
Godzilla Kong is flipping fantastic.
Yes, sir.
Oh my, it's great. It's great. I'm gonna check out American Fiction and a couple games. Oceanhorn 2, I just bought, started playing that, but then Immortals of Avion just came down for free.
Okay.
So I downloaded that. Other than that, man, Brian.
Yes, sir.
Are you ready to start talking
You got to do it right. You got to like almost rupture your diaphragm. Are you it's going to kill my throat. But anyway,
Are you ready
to sleep with your boss's daughter so you have a job for life? Yes.
Yes. Absolutely. All right, so here's what we're going to do here. I want to go through every match that's going to happen. We'll talk about it for a little bit, and then we'll kind of give who we think is going to take it.
Yep.
And then at the end, let's go ahead and talk about some rumors, maybe things that might happen, and see if we can predict the future correct.
Yep. Let's talk, as we do that you just said, let's talk about who we think will win, but who we think should win, because those are two different things. So we'll start with who we think will win, based on the storyline and all the things, but also who will win based on our personal preferences. So I sent you a sheet. Let's just start top to bottom. So for those of you, just real quick, for those of you who are not wrestling fans, become fans. But so WrestleMania, which is the biggest event of not only the WWE and American wrestling, probably global wrestling, is the New Japan show they do around New Year. It will probably be second. So WrestleMania is on two separate nights. Night one is this Saturday, April 6th. Night two is this Sunday, April 7th. There are 7 matches on night one, 6 matches on night two. We're going through each of the matches. And like I said, Bradley and I will tell you who we think will win number one. That's based on how the match has been built. And then who we think should win, which may be the same, may be a different outcome. But we'll talk about it. And for anyone who hops in the comments, yes, wrestling is scripted. It is predetermined. It is not fake. That's a big distance, because guess what? If you fall off a ladder, it hurts, and there's no way to fake that. That being said, Brad, it was okay. I'll call the matches and then we'll discuss them. Does that work for you?
Yeah, right. Absolutely.
So match one is based on my sheet. My guess is this will not be the opening match, though, is Rhea Ripley. And let's all take a moment for Rhea Ripley. Yes. And let's just give true honor to Dominic Mysterio, who by himself is a really good character.
Yeah.
But can you imagine being the lucky so-and-so that gets paid to just hang out with Rhea Ripley.
Yes.
Bro.
Yeah.
Okay. So with that being said, Rhea Ripley, and also
actually real quick, I'm gonna interrupt you for a second. I have one quick question before I forget.
Yes, sir.
Why is there not a male female tag team belt?
They have had like the I can't remember if they call it a mixed tag team or intergender tag team. They had a couple of tournaments on like the back when the WWE Network was separate. And what I remember one year was Alexa Bliss and Braun Strowman, and they have really good chemistry.
Yeah.
I mean, just as a tag team, they had really good chemistry. I think it would be cool if they had it, because they have, I don't know, have you heard of WWE Speed?
Like, yeah.
They have this new show that's going to be on Twitter, and it's going to have this title, and it's all about these really fast matches. Okay, maybe it'll be fine. And then they've got like the Heritage title down in NXT, which is like more of a European style and rounds. Those matches tend to be pretty good. I think it'd be cool to have that intergender tag team. And of course, the first champs, unless something changed with the Judgment Day, would be Rhea and Dom.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, there's no other way to do it.
Yeah.
I would love to see that they had again, what you call it, mixed tag team, intergender tag team. You can play with the name. But I think it'd be very cool to have that and follow typical what the WWE does now, because they really don't do a lot of male on female violence, and I get why.
Yeah.
But, you know, when women tag in, the woman wrestles a woman, the guys tag in, the guys wrestle the guys. But I think it would be really cool to see. So maybe, WWE, if you're listening,
and we know,
and
you,
we
are.
Know you are, give us those intergender tag belts, all right?
Yes.
Maybe that'll be on the Raw after WrestleMania. Maybe they'll announce that. They have enough titles.
Right.
Add one more. Legit. And I thought about this. So the WWE right now has two male world championships, two female world championships, two tag team championships, and really they have three. The men's are unified. So again, two male singles champion world champions, two female world championship, two tag team belts, two secondary belts in the men's division. So they have eight titles. On the main roster, they're adding the Speed title, which would give them nine titles. And it's kind of forgot about the 24/7 belt, which I know you really dug, wasn't my favorite thing. But for one, it's two different shows, but for one level of wrestling, they have nine titles.
Yeah.
That's a lot.
That's a lot.
And I mean, eight of them are going to be the fit. Well, they have eight. They will have nine when they had the Speed titles. They have eight right now. Seven of them are being defended this weekend.
And there's a few of them that have been in the same hands for years.
Which, to be fair,
yeah,
I acknowledge. I acknowledge him. All right, let's get to it. So first match, Rhea Ripley is champion defending against Becky Lynch for the Women's World title. So Bradley, so real quick, we'll talk more about our thoughts, but just who do you think will win, Rhea or Becky?
I think that Becky Lynch is going to win.
I agree. Now, let's talk a little bit about the match. So this match came about. The WWE, again, for people that are not acquainted with the product, the WWE every January has a match called a Royal Rumble, which is a battle royal where the winner of those Rumbles get to pick which, because, again, there's two men's world champions, there's two females world champions, basically one per brand, meaning Raw, which is on Monday nights, and SmackDown was on Friday nights, and you get the pick. So Becky Lynch, while she did not win the Royal Rumble match, she won an Elimination Chamber match, so she challenged Rhea Ripley. They've done a good job. It kind of was forgotten for a little. They've done a really good job, I think, of really growing these matches and really getting a lot of intrigue in the match. Rhea Ripley is probably the number one female wrestler in the WWE. Becky's probably number two, with Charlotte being out injured with her knee. And possibly they were building to a Rhea Ripley-Charlotte rematch, because Rhea's held the belt since last year's WrestleMania, where she beat Charlotte Flair. So, Brad, given that we both think that Becky will win, if you were the booker, who would win this match?
Rhea. I think I and I'll go ahead and say this right now.
Yes.
I think that WrestleMania is not going to be a good day for Judgment Day.
I agree.
Because I think Judgment Day either needs a reset.
Yeah.
But I think Rhea Ripley isn't going to hit because she's really not part of Judgment Day. She's,
no, it's really the four guys. Yeah. And we'll talk more about the tag match regarding them. So here's the thing. Every member of other than JD Madonna, poor JD. he's in Andre Giant Battle Royal on Friday.
Okay.
Which he's not going to win. I actually really like JD Madonna. He was really good on SmackDown, on NXT. He's got a lot of talent. He kind of gets honestly lost in the shuffle. He's kind of like, hey, we need somebody from the Judgment Day to lose a match this week. We'll have it be JD. Mm-hmm. But I think hopefully number one after WrestleMania they give JD because JD's really talented. He really is. He's a smaller. As Finn Balor's not big. He's a smaller version of Finn Balor. But with that, I agree with you. Rhea, there's the Judgment Day as a group. There's Judgment Day meaning the male wrestler, and then there's Rhea. And Rhea has her own identity. And let's be real, the Judgment Day as a whole, other than Dom and a little bit of JD, but the Judgment Day really are right on the cusp of being babyface, of being fanfare, yeah. being good guys and women, right? And Rhea already is over as a babyface. Rhea does not get booed. Even when she tries her damnedest to get booed, they boo her a little because Becky Lynch has a really strong fan base.
Yeah.
But if she's wrestling anybody but Becky Lynch, if you saw Elimination Chamber, now it wasn't her home country, but if you saw any matches against anyone other than Becky, she's cheered. She 100% is who people want to have. So we both agree that Rhea should retain. Number one, I think it's time for Rhea to step outside of the Judgment Day. Number two, she's hot. Becky's been champion multiple times before. There's no reason for her to lose to Becky. And what would you do with her if she's not the champion? She's the most over woman. Not only does she have the best matches, she's got an incredible look. We both are fans. Mm-hmm. She's good on promos. It's just there's, and we shown with what would be the last match we talk about tonight, which is Roman Reigns, which I love with the current. There's no just because it's WrestleMania season doesn't mean you have a title change. And I think we're going to see plenty over the weekend. I think I agree with you. Have her beat Becky and honestly save her for a return in Charlotte, which would make sense. I mean, that whole rematch, they've got a good little rivalry going. Or honestly, you know, who knows? I know Jade Cargill is currently on SmackDown.
Yeah.
But Money in the Bank will come up soon.
Yeah.
What about Jade Cargill winning Money in the Bank and choosing to challenge Rhea Ripley? I think that, and I got some other thoughts on Jade, but I hope either one, I think they'll both be fine champions.
Mm-hmm. It's going to be a good match.
It'll be a very good match. Becky can sell, Rhea can dominate, which is what they should do, the size differential, but I also really hope that, again, it stays with our girl. One more time, we really hope Mommy stays on top.
All right, so we're agreeing on this.
We're agreeing on both. We're agreeing on
he's going to win, but we both want
that Rhea should win. So right now we are in agreement. Okay, I'm going to highlight that when we look at our predictions. All right, next up, the Intercontinental title, which is our boy Gunther, who is my favorite true heel, because we'll talk about guys that are heels but aren't. True heel in Gunther versus the underdog from the underground, our boy Sami Zayn.
Mm-hmm.
So, Bradley, again, first up, who do you think will win the match?
I think Gunther's going to win.
Really? Okay. Go ahead. Please continue your thoughts.
Okay, so I think Gunther's going to win, and I hope he's going to win. You know, the story of Sami Zayn, you know, the confidence thing, I think because they just introduced that, it's not ready to boil yet.
Okay.
It's not ready. And I think this is just going to be another thing on there. I think that they're going to have more of a thing, but I think the only person that's going to beat Gunther is going to be Chad Gable.
See, and you kind of beat me where I was going with this. So I think, and I went back of all the matches, this one that gave me the most pause back and forth. Mm-hmm. I think Sammy will win for a couple reasons. Number one, again, this is the inside part of wrestling. This match, I don't know if it was going to be a title match, but this match, Gunther's initial opponent was going to be Brock Lesnar. And then
if he comes back.
Yeah. But that was the original plan. And then we know with all the things in the semi-serious one, with the sex trafficking allegations against the WWE former chairman Vince McMahon, which unfortunately also, which is an unfortunate story anyway, but also includes Brock Lesnar. Brock's not actively wrestling, right? He doesn't wrestle much to begin with. But that was going to be the initial match. Again, whether it would have had a, whether a title was online or not, that's the story. By the way, do you realize, I don't know if you know this, Brad, because in a time where the WWE has multitudes of titles, and Brock's been around the WWE for what, for probably close to a couple decades.
Yeah.
The only title Brock has, or titles, the only titles, plural, that Brock has ever held in the WWE has been a world championship.
He's never been.
He's never had a tag title. He's never had a secondary title. Huh. He's only ever been world champion, WWE champion. They've had different names for their world title. But whatever's the top title, that's the only belt or belts he's ever held. He's ever held. Yeah. Now, the minute that you add in, he won the UFC title a little bit as well. Hang on one second. So then looking at that, so I'm still going to stick with, I think Sammy will win, but here, and I even put, I thought Sammy should win because I think, and I think this may come out in another match later, they really highlighted Sammy and Kevin Owens were in the main event of night one of WrestleMania last year. They did this whole deal, but I agree with you, maybe from a better storyline standpoint, Gunther wins, possibly even with a little interference from Chad Gable, or maybe the Imperium group keeps Sammy from winning, and Chad Gable wins the title. Chad Gable is incredibly talented. He is like, if someone shrunk and gave Kurt Angle hair. I mean, he, if you look just how he wrestles, it's so Kurt Angle-esque. Like, how they don't have Angle as this guy's manager, coach, just have him like, just give him the rub of Kurt Angle's Kurt Angle. I mean, he's starting to dress. I don't know if you saw the thing on Monday. They're starting to dress more like Kurt Angle, so maybe that's the plan after WrestleMania.
Maybe.
But I'm going to say right now, what I think who's going to win is still Sami Zayn, and I'm going to put who I think should win. But you know what? You've changed my mind. I'm going to just go with you. That's why we do these things. I'm changing my pick for who should win the Gunther. So you still say who you think will win is Gunther.
Yes.
I still believe that Sammy will win, but I think that a Gunther should win. All right. So now, go ahead.
Here is one, and you brought this up, and someone's going to finish it up a little bit, but here's the prediction, right? Imperium's going to come out. They're going to interfere. Chad Gable.
If you don't know wrestling backstory, Gunther is part of a larger faction, which is himself and a tag team. The tag team, and they all go by Imperium when it's all together. So this is his buddies, more or less.
Yeah.
That I'm assuming would come out and possibly interfere. Okay.
Yeah. And then Chad Gable's going to come out, and they're going to. That's what's going to happen for the match. And,
all right.
Yeah. Gunther's going to win.
And this is a match. I mean, they've tried to do the whole kind of underdog and underground, the Rocky thing to really inspire Sammy getting up. I think either way it goes. I mean, Sammy, and by the way, the only, which is getting a little bit of trivia for you, the only single title that Sammy has ever held in the WWE has been the Intercontinental Championship. So he's won the tag team belts with, he went forever not holding any titles. He won because, and then he won the tag titles with Kevin Owens last year, but he's been, I think, a two-time Intercontinental Champion, both times as a heel. So possibly he gets his first babyface singles title. All right. Now, a match that you and I think both watching with bated breath due to a very specific participant, which is the six-pack. This is a mouthful.
Yes.
Six-pack tag team title ladder match, which involves the Judgment Day, Rhea Ripley's group, which includes Finn Balor and Senior Money in the Bank, Damian Priest. DIY, which is Johnny Gargano, Tommaso Ciampa, The New Day, Kofi Kingston and Xavier Woods, A-Town Down, Under, which is Austin Theory and Grayson Waller, The New Catch Republic, still the worst name ever, Pete Dunne and Tyler Bate, glad to be Pete Gunn being Pete Gunn, and the team number six, The Awesome Truth, which is consists of The Miz, but most importantly, your favorite, my favorite, Leia's favorite, R-Truth.
What's up?
What's up? Now, let's just get to it. I was going to ask you straight up, Bradley, do you have anybody winning this match other than the Awesome Truth?
Yes. I have, because I think they're going to split it. The things are going to be split. I think Awesome Truth is going to win the Raw ones, and I think Under is going to win the SmackDown.
Okay, I think Judgment Day possibly retains, but
really?
I agree with what you said, because they made a point, and this is why, if you listen to the commentators, sometimes they say authentic what they speak. Sometimes they have to kind of push the storyline. The commentators make it a big deal this week. So again, a little bit of backstory. So the men's WWE tag team titles, they say are the undisputed tag title, because once upon a time, there were tag belts for Raw for the men belts competitors, and there were tag belts on SmackDown for the male competitors. They got unified with the Usos, which we'll talk about here in a minute. Mm-hmm. So when the Usos won the belts, they kept them unified. So the Usos lost to Sami Zayn and Kevin Owens last year's WrestleMania. Owens and Zayn lost them to the Judgment Day. The Judgment Day lost them to Cody and Jey Uso, and then Jey Uso and Cody lost them back to the Judgment Day. But they've kept, and if you ever see them, the belts look almost identical, other than one set has a blue strap, meaning SmackDown. Mm-hmm. One belt has a red strap, meaning Raw. They made the point over and over again this past week on SmackDown that you have to grab both sets of belts. So there's four belts, technically.
Yeah.
Two for Raw, two for SmackDown. They've now split every title, because the men's world title used to be just one. Now they split it back to two. They've done that, and I could see one team grabbing the SmackDown or the blue belts, one team grabbing the red belts, probably calling them one tag titles, the WWE tag titles, one tag titles, the world tag titles. Now, what I think will happen is Awesome Truth grabs the red belts for Raw, and then another team, which I think will be, if it happens what you said happened, by the way, Awesome Truth, Judgment Day doesn't need the tag belts, and I'll say at some point, Damian Priest got to cash in that title, so they got to drop them regardless. But I think Awesome Truth, number one, is going to win, and I think Awesome Truth should win. But if we play it out, having Awesome Truth, again, grabbing the Raw belts, because that's where R-Truth and Miz already are, but having, like, I don't know who you said would be the other team, but maybe like New Catch Republic, because they're on SmackDown, grabbing the blue belts. Is that kind of what your thoughts are?
Yeah, I honestly don't care who gets the SmackDown ones, to be honest. It's fine. The talent on SmackDown for like the tag, just have
now, no care. For me, if my druthers, because I look at which teams are committed to SmackDown, which teams are committed to Raw. If they're gonna do the split we're talking about, I want it to be A-Town Down Under. Just because I think Austin's, I love me some Grayson Waller. I don't know what it is. I love Grayson Waller. I would hope it will be A-Town Down, because number one, Austin Theory, from a what he can do in the ring, is one of the better prospects we have. Grayson Waller is good in the ring, but his promo bills are really good. If you give it to a young, brash, true heel tag team, so you have one team that the fans love in Awesome Truth, and by that is our boy R-Truth.
Yes.
And then and they also made a big point to say that R-Truth has never won a match at WrestleMania. They're saying that to pay off. Mm-hmm. So Awesome Truth is winning something. I mean, they are, and they should, by the way. But if they did that split, Awesome Truth, and I think the Raw titles are called the World Championships, so they become the world champion, the world tag team champions. A-Town Down Under grabs, so maybe you see R-Truth up there against maybe like Austin Theory, and then they fight, and one grabs blue, one grabs red, and then you've got the WWE tag team champion as A-Town Down Under. If you don't get why that name, Austin Theory is from Atlanta, a.k.a. A-Town. Grayson Waller from Australia, the Down Under. They put those things together, and I think that would be the best thing to do it. And the Judgment Day has so many other things, especially, let's be real, the Judgment Day, there's a lot that they can do at Rhea. There's a lot they can even like keep together, split them. There's a lot they can do at Rhea. There's a lot they can do at Damian Priest. There's a lot they can do at Dom, Finn, and honestly, I think a tag team of Finn and JD McDonagh maybe going forward would work really well. Mm-hmm. Finn trained JD McDonagh. They have very similar styles. That could be the new Judgment Day team. And then while Damian Priest goes off to challenge And I believe hopefully win the world title, because I think Damian Priest is set for bigger things. All right, cool.
Yeah, man. we'll get into that shortly.
Yeah. Yep. All right. I think. Yeah. Okay. So next up, another match I think we both are excited for. Yeet or no yeet, Jey Uso versus Jimmy Uso. If you count the last name, these are called, though Uso is not their last name, it's Fatu. These are legit not only brothers, but fraternal twin brothers. So this will be the third legit. And I love Michael Cole. If you heard this week, he actually said this is the third match at WrestleMania featuring real brothers. Like, we can't count anything between like Edge and Christian. So we had, let me ask you, do you know the other two matches featuring biological brothers at WrestleMania?
Yeah, I mean it was the Hearts.
Yeah, Brett versus Owen.
Brett versus Owen, and
then the other one. I give you a hint. The last name also begins with H.
Yeah, and the Hardys.
Yep, Matt versus Jeff. Yep. So yeah, now we get Jimmy versus Jay.
We'll get into rumors too, but I was hearing some things that people are thinking that the Hardys might be showing up.
That would be beautiful. I love it, the Hardys.
Matt Hardy might be showing up because I think Jeff is still in recovery because the man can't stay clean.
He can't stay clean. And by the way, Jeff Hardy, wish you the best of luck. We really adore you.
I love Jeff Hardy. He's one of my all-time favorite wrestlers.
He was one of my son's favorite. I love Jeff, not as much as my kid did. I think it was a generational thing, but very cool. I was kind of more Matt, but because Matt Hardy got Lita, dude.
Lita.
Oh, God. Yeah.
Oh, man.
Her song used to be the highlight of so many wrestling shows for me. Like, what's Lita wearing?
Dude, like when she hooked up with the Hardys, it was freaking magic.
Team Extreme was fantastic.
Yeah.
But also, her when she hooked up with Edge also had benefits.
Yeah, yep.
Two very specific ones. Okay, moving forward.
All right, okay, Jay versus Jimmy.
Jay versus Jimmy. Number one, who do you think is going to win, Jay or Jimmy?
I think Jimmy's going to win. I think no Yeet's going to win. But I think Yeet should win.
Okay. I am going to go, because similar to what we talked about the Judgment Day, so there's three factions that have multiple matches over the two nights. Damage Control, which you're coming up to, Judgment Day we've talked about, and then the Bloodline, which we'll also talk about coming up. I think in this one, I think everybody they built it, and again, should win should be Jay, will win will be Jay. Because I have a hard time honestly thinking about the last time Jimmy Uso won a match.
Well, and so the reason why I think that Jimmy is going to win something is to raise his profile. Because Jay, his profile is raised, especially on Raw. I mean, he's one of the top billed people.
Okay.
And Bloodline's
from a baby face, after like Cody and CM Punk, it's 100% Jimmy. And until Punk came back, it was Cody then Jimmy. I mean, Cody and Jay. Yeah, yeah.
But I think that if they are going to do that with Jimmy, he's going to have to get the win.
Okay, I get you there. And that would make sense also. Again, we talk about what maybe rumors regarding the Bloodline. But, you know, with the Bloodline, they've done a good job of making Solo Sikoa a beast. Jimmy, I don't know what – I love Jimmy's promos. He's so damn funny. And they've done a good job of really developing Jay versus Jimmy with personalities. Really, just because, I mean, while they are fraternal twins, they're not identical, they do look a lot alike. Just even like Jay wears blue, Jimmy, and it's funny, Jay wears blue on the red brand, Jimmy wears red on the blue brand.
Dude, I never picked that up. I'm gonna be able to see now.
And obviously red is a Bloodline color, period. But they just do a really good job of, you know, the hair is different.
Yeah,
they do everything they can. I mean, when Jimmy wrestles, Jimmy actually wears more of a shirt to even down, because their tats are very similar.
Yeah.
They do everything to go, you're Jimmy, you're Jay, wanting the fans to know the difference, different personalities, different theme music, all the deal. But the fans, I mean, if someone, speaking of the people's champ, if someone legitimately had the, could say they were the people's champion, it's probably Jay Uso.
Right now,
if you see the crowd, when he comes out doing his Jeet with the fans, I mean, they probably get louder cheers for Cody because they push Cody more.
Yeah.
But there's something there with Jimmy.
Jimmy. He's going to be just as big as a lot of his family members.
Also makes me hope Gunther retains, Because if Gunther retains, 100%, the person that should take the title from Gunther is Jey Uso. And, you know, I've been saying that for a hot minute. All right. So, okay. So I've got Jey winning, and Jey should win and will win. Okay. You've got Jimmy winning, but you said you think Jimmy will win. Who you think should win? Is it Jimmy or Jey?
I think Jey should win, but I think Jimmy's going to win.
Okay. So the only he's matched on so far is that first match, which is fine. Okay. So next up, we got the six-woman tag match. Bianca Belair, really wish Bianca got a singles match, and they're wasting her talent, but that's okay.
Yeah, I think we're going to be in the same page on this.
This match is completely for the next person on the team, which is Jay Cargill, and coincidentally, Jimmy Uso's wife, Naomi, which I got to give the WWE credit. People know they're married, but they've done a great job of keeping Jimmy Uso and Naomi separate, being the fact that Jimmy comes out really good as a heel. And I remember when the Usos first turned heel, we were like, damn, it's heels. And they talk about the Uso penitentiary, and they've excelled as heels. But Naomi is a natural baby face. By the way, I'm a big enough wrestling fan to know that generally the natural heels are like the nicest freaking people.
Yeah.
The few that people accept as baby faces tend to be jerks. Hogan. With that being said, we've got Bianca Belair, Jade Cargill, The Storm, and Naomi versus Damage Control, which is
now I want this, her Storm. Huh? She would make an awesome Storm.
She would make an awesome. Other than this, how about this, Jade? Just my rhythm. I was watching SmackDown. How about this, Jade? When you're coming down to the ring to save your friends or the other baby faces, move a little faster. She makes Roman Reigns' intro look quick.
Right. Yeah. Like, she's the two commercial breaks.
Yeah, like, oh my God. And Jade. Yeah. Like, you could commit a serious homicide in a time you're waiting on Jade to show up. Okay. But no, you got Bianca Belair, Jade Cargill, and Naomi. For that team, the star is Jade. Okay. And it should be. Well, they're really trying to push Jade.
Yeah.
That's why I said I wish we got Bianca Belair. Naomi being second fiddle's fine. But Bianca Belair versus Tiffany Stratton Toodles, I think I would prefer that match versus Damage Control, which is Dakota Kai, who is my crush. I love me some Dakota Kai. Asuka and Kairi Sane, and again, Asuka, someone else that could be. I just real quick tangent. She was so damn good in NXT for her to be part of, and they're tag champs, but for her to be a tag wrestler. I would have preferred to see Asuka as champion singles instead of Io Sky and then Kyrie and Io as a tag team, but it is what it is.
Yeah.
But let's start with you, sir. So who you see winning, Bianca, Jade, and Naomi, or Damage Control?
Man, I think the second that this match was made, it's simple.
Especially when they announced it was going to be Jade Cargill in it.
Yeah, it's Bianca, Jade, and Naomi.
Yeah,
you know, there is no way. I mean, a lot of things have to go wrong for them to lose.
Yep,
I think that those three are going to end up in a team together.
Yes.
And so dominate.
I can see that. Now, here's my thoughts. I agree with you who will win is going to be Bianca, Jade, and Naomi just because they're going to make their push in Jade. Here's what I think should happen. And this is my mini booker. Damage Control wins. And on this Damage Control wins, the person that gets pinned is Bianca Belair. SmackDown is really cluttered when it comes to baby faces. Mm-hmm. The legitimate top level echelon of heel women on SmackDown is Damage Control. So you've got Bayley, Naomi, Bianca, the baby faces. They need a heel who is not a member of Damage Control. So, also because I want to see this match. The match ends, let's say, you know, Asuka throws the miss, whatever, and Asuka pins Bianca Belair. After the match, Naomi's checking in and consoling Bianca. Jade pretends like she is. And out of nowhere, Jade turns specifically on Bianca. That sets up for SummerSlam. Jade and Bianca. Jade Cargill, I watched her stuff a little bit in AEW. Everything, and not only this, how they're presenting her, this is going to make people turn on her anyway. And maybe that's the point. make Jade a heel. She's big. She's physically imposing. She's basically, and you know, she's kind of the female Goldberg. Mm-hmm. Make her a heel. Let her kick people's asses and not apologize for it. Put her in a match with someone who physically can keep up with her in the EST and Bianca Belair. Like, have her whoop the hell out of Naomi the first SmackDown after WrestleMania. And, like, take it too far so Bianca comes out, sets up a SummerSlam match. That's what I hope happens. Also, based on what I think I was going to have with the other part of Judgment, with Damage Control, let's give Damage Control some level of win and have them win the six-person tag match.
I like it. I like it. I like your story that you went there, and I can definitely see that happening.
So I think everything about Jade, at least now, is a heel, and let the fans dick her enough to make her a babyface. All right. So we'll cover the next match quickly because it's the match I don't care about at all. Yeah. Which is the not I like
a few every, of them for me.
I like every participant in this match, but I just don't get why this is a thing. Which is the LWO, meaning Rey and Dragon Lee, versus Santos Escobar and our boy Dirty Dominic Mysterio. Of all of these, Dirty Dom is my favorite, but let's just get to it. Who do you see winning, the LWO or Mysterio and Santos Escobar?
Man, again, I even wrote IDK.
Yeah, I don't care either. By the way, you want to see fans show they don't care? When they had mentioned that, they said the fans like Carlito, when they're talking about who's going to be raised.
Right?
Carlito, it's Dragon Lee.
Yeah.
Dragon Lee's a wonderful competitor. They've done nothing to make Dragon Lee relevant. So, but who do you think wins? Dragon and Ray or Dom and Santos?
I'm going to say Ray and Dragon Lee just because it's the masks.
And it's Ray.
Yeah, it's Ray.
And it's Ray. They're not going to have Ray's Ray in the Hall of Fame, all the deal. They're not going to have Ray, but I think, again, I agree with you. Number one, I think the LWO is going to win. I think what should happen, well, I changed my mind. I'm going to change. I said I thought what should happen is the LWO. I'm going to put what I think should happen is Santos and Dom for this reason. Dominic, they need to start. Rey Mysterio is not long for the rest. I mean, he's in good shape. But, I mean, the guy, I didn't look how old Rey Mysterio is. He's got to be in his 40s.
Oh, well, probably more than that. Well, yeah. Late 40s, at least.
I mean, he was in WCW in the 90s, right? So, but with that being said, I think the future of, whether you want to say it's the Luchadors, that's these four wrestlers, three of them are the future. Dominic, Santos, and Dragon Lee.
Man.
They're going to want to make this match about Rey. You can make the match about Rey, but having Santos and Dominic winning is better for business. So
I agree with that.
Yeah. So I think I think Adam's going to win to give Ray, and maybe his last WrestleMania, Ray gets to stand up, enjoy the crowd, and he has earned it. Also, this is Philly, stomping grounds of ECW. It's where Ray got his break in the United States was ECW back when he was a junior, somewhere along the way they dropped. By the way, if you don't understand the name Ray Mysterio Jr., it's not Ray like in America, the first name Ray.
Yeah.
It's Ray Mysterio, which means king of mystery. So R-E-Y, which means king. And then he started wrestling as Ray Mysterio Jr. And once he debuted in the WWE many years ago at this point, they dropped the junior and they talk about Ray like it's his first name. It isn't.
He's 49.
He's
49 years old. And you know what, man? Like, honestly, I would have rather seen Andrade in a match like this. Rather have seen Ricochet in a match like this.
I feel you.
Because, dude, that match that Ricochet did on Raw.
Fantastic.
I messaged
Fantastic.
You. Dude, that was.
It was one of the better matches they've done.
Ever.
And I love what they're doing with him in the Judgment Day, so I think maybe that comes up. Yeah. I don't think this will happen, but just for a fan casting, how cool would it be? He's beaten Dom. He's beaten JD. He hasn't wrestled Finn or Damian Priest. Yeah. I don't think this will happen because obviously I'm really pushing Damian Priest. But what if him versus DP for the briefcase, and he beat Damian Priest, and Ricochet becomes the new Mr. Money in the Bank?
I mean,
can you imagine Seth? Okay, let's say Seth is still champion.
Mm-hmm.
Could you imagine Seth Rollins and Ricochet? How cool that flipping Tyler Black, who used to wrestle more like Ricochet when he was Tyler Black. That would be my dream match. All right, we're going to move forward because we're running long on time. We're going to talk about night two, but
yeah.
But okay, so LWO, who we think will win, you said LWO will probably going to go over both times. I got Santos and Dominic. All right.
You know, so I'm actually changing mind to follow your lead on that.
Okay, so we're going to match on both of those. Now, we get to the main event of night one. If you just watch ESPN, you mm-hmm. should know this match is happening.
Yeah.
So the Bloodline, which is The Rock, the final boss. I hated that name, and now it's growing on me because I don't know if you've noticed when it came out on Monday Night Raw, they've updated his entrance, where it's got the final boss, the electricity, and how even his music plays. I'm kind of digging the final boss thing right now because it's like this is a video game reference. If you don't know it, like every level in a lot of those video games have a boss, but then it's the final boss, right? So I go back to Mike Tyson Punch Out. Like, I could get past King Hippo. But damn it! Mike Tyson. I was like, oh, no. Average Joe.
Jake Paul's going to find that out.
Yeah. Okay, I don't know. So Mike Tyson, I don't know if you saw this. So Mike Tyson did an interview with a rapper named Lil Boozy.
Yeah.
And Lil Boozy's talking hella shit to Mike Tyson, but get my language. Mike Tyson's clapback that made this dude shut up was simply this. I'm Mike Tyson. And then he stared at him. All he goes is, I'm Mike Tyson, then did this. This dude shut the F up. He goes, oh, and you see his people like, oh, my damn. Like, remember, this dude bit a dude's ear off.
Right.
Like, it ain't nothing here but air and opportunity, my dog. Like, yeah. So,
that's absolutely. Yeah, that's awesome.
I would love to have Tyson make a WWE moment. Like, have him show up. Austin's retired. Have Mike Tyson go out and just be Mike Flippin' Tyson. All right.
Yeah.
So with that being said, back to the match. So Bloodline rules or not, depends on stipulation. But we got Cody and Seth freaking Rollins, or that now calls the clown emoji because that's called on with me, versus the Bloodline, real life cousins, the final boss of Rock, and a tribal chief, I will acknowledge him, in Roman Reigns. Who do you think wins this match? Cody and Seth? Okay, I'm sorry. Who do you think will win? Cody and Seth or the Bloodline? We'll start there.
I think Bloodlines should win and will win because
we get the
Bloodline rules.
Same. Because that's going to play with our fantasy booking when my fans were going to main event. So it's going to go there. After this, all about Cody finishing his story.
Yeah.
But again, Cody, you can see, is using a lot of his daddy's, the American Dream Industrial RIP booking of let's stack the deck and I overcome.
Mm-hmm.
So he bled. He lost last year. And by the way, I think we both talked about last in the gift. And I thought about this earlier today. Let's give Cody credit. And I'll be brief. When we saw last year's WrestleMania, which coincided with the Cody Rhodes documentary, we all expected Cody to win. Mm-hmm. And he lost. I mean, there's interference, but he lost. And you and I both like, what the hell are they doing? And if you look at it from WrestleMania 49 to now, I'm sorry, 39 mm-hmm. to WrestleMania 50, think about what's happening. He had that great match. That he had that great series of three matches with Brock Lesnar. He had the tag run with Jey Uso. And this is what they couldn't predict: CM Punk coming back and that match that they had at the end of the Royal Rumble. The Rock's insertion, which was again based more on Punk's injury, that they shifted so well to include this. When he got beat down in the rain with the blood and the Rock and him having the sense in the Rock and the Rock's dropping the F-bomb left and right, I'm the final buck. He legitimately is on the board of directors for TKO, which owns the WWE at this point. They've made, every time there's been something weird happen, Cody had the pec injury that took him out of most of year one in WWE. They were fine. He got to return at the Royal Rumble. CM Punk's injury, and they totally were going to go with Cody versus Seth and bring the Rock. They turned the Rock into a heel, and he's a monster. This storyline has been fantastic. So one more thing to get the crowd like, we need Cody to win, is for the Bloodline to win that tag match. So it's Bloodline rules. And I've got, again, my fan casting of what happens. So that's night one. We agree on.
Yes.
We agree on that. We agree on three of the seven matches on night one. Before we go to night two, I just want to recap those. So Becky versus Rhea, we agreed on. LWO versus Santos and Dominic, we agreed on. And the Bloodline match, we agreed on. Now, night two.
Mm-hmm.
And again, This was supposed to be Seth Rollins versus CM Punk. CM Punk had a legit tricep injury. He can't wrestle. So now we get Seth freaking Rollins, the champion defending the World Heavyweight Championship versus Drew McIntyre. Who do you, by the way, on that Bloodline match, I think the person that gets pinned is Seth. But Seth versus Drew, who do you think wins? Who do you think should win?
Okay. So here's how I think who I think should win is Seth freaking Rollins.
Should win is Seth. Okay.
But who I think will win,
yep,
is Drew, but Damian Priest is walking out of there cashing his money in the bank and taking it from him, because that is just
good. Especially the Bloodline loses night one. Yeah. Especially the Bloodline loses night one.
Yeah.
That is brilliant. Because they've only had one cash in at WrestleMania, which was actually Seth Rollins. So if Damian Priest cashes in on that, so that's, I love that. That number one, I think it should happen for a couple reasons. Punk will be back shortly after WrestleMania. He'll probably be back by SummerSlam. Punk's feud is going to be with Damian Priest. They're going to want to hold, let's be real, CM Punk is going to be the World Heavyweight Champion, but they're going to hold that match until WrestleMania 41. He probably wins the Royal Rumble next January, okay? With that, if Drew wins and is still, I think Drew's going to win, because Drew's got to beat Seth.
They're pushing him. Yeah.
And let's remember, he's lost to Seth for the world title on a couple, three pay-per-views.
Yeah.
So it makes no sense for him to lose again. You've just killed off any momentum Drew has. So Drew should beat Seth. But at the same time, if Damian Priest cashes in and beats, it can happen either way. I mean, you can point out the irony if Seth gets cashed in on by Drew. That's why I said I think Seth should lose the fall in the Bloodline match, maybe walk, and they can do a storyline injury in the Bloodline match on night one, so he's not at full capacity. I think the Cody Roman match is going to go long, so maybe that gives an excuse of maybe going shorter on the Drew Seth match. Drew wins, he's celebrating. Damian Priest cashes in the Judgment Day does what they do. He walks out. And that sets up a couple of things. That sets up, number one, probably Seth versus Damian Priest going forward. Because then shortly after, or maybe even Drew. But what that really sets up is when CM Punk comes back, he can have his feud with Drew McIntyre, but the title's not part of that. So they don't have to come up with a reason why he can't beat Drew for the title. Because they're going to hold the title victory for CM Punk at WrestleMania 41. That is brilliant. I really like that. So while I think who will win is that who should win is Drew. And again, I like that cash in piece. All right. Io Sky versus the Women's Royal Rumble match winner, Bayley. Who do you think will win versus should win?
Same thing. Bayley. I think it's going to be Bayley.
I think this is the most clear cut. I think this and the next match are the two most clear cut matches. And I think that it's clean storylines, clean booking.
Yeah.
This is classic. Bayley was part of a heel group, Damage Control. She was the leader, pulled them together. They turned on her. So she wins the Women's Royal Rumble match. They think she's going to challenge Rhea Ripley. She goes, hey, I know y'all been plotting against me. They jump Bayley. They've had this whole thing with her, Dakota, and all of Damage Control, 100%. So that goes back to why I think Damage Control should win on night one. I think Bayley is winning on night two. So you don't kill all the momentum of the Damage Control faction. All right, that's really good.
Yeah.
So we match on. So night two, we're two for two so far. Mm-hmm. So we've matched on Drew versus Seth, and we've matched on Bayley versus Io Sky. Now we get to the third match. This hurts me to say. The match I am least interested in, because I think this is a waste of LA Knight.
Me too. I agree. I was going to say the same thing. I was like,
LA Knight versus AJ.
I'm going to be into it because LA Knight. Match.
I'm sorry.
We, as spectators, lose in this match.
Yeah, and it's gonna really matter talk about the next match.
Yeah,
but let's just get through it, because I think we're gonna play out more in the next match. But I think of all the matches outside of maybe EO and Bayley and maybe Cody and Roman, this one is clear cut. Is there a snowball chance in hell that LA Knight's losing to AJ Styles?
Absolutely not, man. All right. LA Knight,
gonna be
no.
quick with it.
No.
LA Knight, yeah, is winning and is actually winning and should win. Now we get to the match. I'm just gonna go ahead and lead this one. That match he should be in.
I know.
Which, and I even moved my camera, hit my desk so hard. The match he should be in with, and I said this at a previous podcast. I'm gonna backtrack real quick. Because all this is based on what happened in the Elimination Chamber. Here's what this match should be. Mm-hmm. We should have had Randy Orton versus AJ Styles. They've already wrestled WrestleMania once. I get that. But they have good chemistry, two veterans. And with their name recognition, nothing else needs to be involved.
Yeah.
Number two is, and forget the triple threat match. They could have figured something else to do with Kevin Owens. Or they made that the triple threat match. AJ versus Orton versus Kevin. They all kind of revolve that bloodline feud.
Or they can feel four-way.
Yeah, or whatever. But
yeah,
the I'm a big for title matches, unless there's a reason that you don't want to have the champion be pinned or submit. I like title matches to be one-on-one, but I guess sometimes you have to keep the champion strong if they lose. Is this match should be Logan Paul versus LA Knight. No one should it be that. I thought about this a lot. That should be the first match on night one, because I go back to John Cena. We're at WrestleMania 20, so 20 WrestleManias ago. Isn't that weird to say that's 20 years ago? Cena versus Big Show for the U.S. title was the first match. This is back when WrestleMania was one night. He beat Big Show for his first WWE title. Can you imagine the crowd if the first sound they hear on night one is LA Knight's theme music?
Yeah.
He would have come out. He could have had a really good competitive match with Logan Paul. He beats Logan Paul. The crowd erupts. You have started WrestleMania out in a very good place. That's not what we're getting. What we're getting, though, is Logan Paul, the Maverick, versus Randy Orton versus Kevin Owens. So I'm going to turn it back to you, my partner. Mm. Who do you think wins this match? Not who you think should.
Mm-hmm.
Who you think will win the match, this triple threat?
I think it's going to be Randy Orton.
We agree on Randy Orton.
Yeah.
Now I'm going to ask you who should win the match.
I'm going to say Randy Orton again. It's either Randy or Logan Paul.
Yep. So
I don't see Kevin. Honestly,
yeah,
I am not a huge fan of Kevin Owens.
And he's your twin. You look so much like him.
Right. I mean, yeah.
Yeah, little similarities.
I don't know, man. I just see so much of Stone Cold, which I'm hoping we'll get a little bit of Stone Cold.
We're talking about some rumors here in a minute. So here's my deal. I agree with. I think Randy Orton is gonna win. I don't want Randy Orton to win for a few reasons. Number one, I really like Logan Paul as a heel, as a champion.
Me too.
And I think the person that beats Logan Paul, if you haven't guessed from my talk already, should be LA Knight. And I think it should have been LA Knight at WrestleMania, maybe hold up to LA Knight at SummerSlam. And it should be at a major pay-per-view. Don't have it be at like Backlash. It should, if Logan Paul loses the title, it should be either at WrestleMania this Sunday or at SummerSlam or another big one. Mm-hmm. Number two is, I think that they may give it to Randy, but another reason I don't think Randy doesn't need it. Randy's a 14-time world champion. True. He's held the U.S. title. And then if he's the U.S. champion, they've already presented Randy so strong. Who the hell beats Randy Orton?
Nobody.
Right. So what I think will happen, what I want to have happen is that, well, I think Randy wins just because they've really been pushing Randy since his return. But here's what I want to have happen. And I think maybe with it being a triple threat match, what we will get. Sometimes when you have a triple threat match, you have that third person, the one that gets pinned or submitted. So I think what happens is Logan Paul retains, and he does it by pinning Kevin Owens, and that leads potentially to a Kevin Owens versus Randy Orton feud, because Randy, they both will need something to do afterwards.
Yeah.
And that then sets the place before, and I can see it happening at the SmackDown after WrestleMania. LA Knight comes out and goes, you know, I got AJ Styles out of the way. My next side is a title, and the title I want is a U.S. title with your boy, Logan Paul. The promos those two could do, they could build it. And also because Logan Paul's not on SmackDown every week, they could have him, like, refuse to do it, write him off to you for a while. There's no reason to have it at Backlash and hold it till SummerSlam, where LA Knight, who, again, is the megastar, he's a hot commodity. Mm-hmm. Similar in that, and that's what I love about WWE right now. You got two guys who are not in title contention right now, and Jey Uso and LA Knight, that you could put for the U.S. title, the Intercontinental title, the World title, the W title, and fans would go crazy. That's what you want to have.
Agreed.
Another match I have absolutely no interest in. Me too. Because I think they've played it out on SmackDown far too many times. And this old, if you want this match to mean something at WrestleMania, don't have them wrestle like every other week on SmackDown.
I know. I was thinking the exact same thing.
We've seen this before, but now because it's a Philadelphia street fight.
Right.
I do like the fact they finally gave the team a name. So I do like that. That you get the faction of name. You got Bobby Lashley along with the Street. And I love the Street Profits. I love them on SmackDown. I love Bobby Lashley. I typically am a fan of tag teams staying together because I don't think we get that enough. Mm-hmm. At some point, the Street Profits need to break up because Montez Ford is so incredible as a single. And his Frog Smash is up there with Eddie Guerrero's and Rob Van Dam's. But we got Bobby Lashley with Angelo Dawkins and Montez Ford, the Street Profits with B-Fab.
Yeah.
Up there versus the Final Testament with Karrion Kross, Occam and Razor with Scarlett. Yes, please. And our boy Paul Ellis got to be like 112 years old. I love Paul Ellis. This is what Paul Ellis does every time the Final Testament comes out. He comes out with that weird white glove.
Yeah.
Does a fist and stays put. And like, even go to the ring. Like, I feel like they've got a chair waiting for Ellering. Like, sit down. Now, to be fair, he's outlived both Animal and Hawk, so RIP to the Road Warriors. Ellering's still around. But with that being said, let's cut to the point. It's irrelevant to street fight. They made it a street fight because they know fans are going to be like, we've seen this one. This is the bathroom break match for 19.
It is.
So with that being said, who you got? The Pride or the Final Testament? Who do you think, number one, will win?
The Pride.
Who do you think should win?
The Pride.
All right. We disagree here because I'm going to put, I think the Final Testament should win because they need, of people that are not being utilized, Bobby Lashley, the Street, this feud has been death to these six men.
Mm-hmm.
Lashley, Karrion Kross, the Street Profits, and the AOP are all destined. AOP should possibly be in that six-man tag match. For the titles or the Profits, and Karrion, and there's, I get giving Karrion Kross maybe a faction. There's nothing on Bobby Lashley that needs a faction. He should be in here. He should be in here having a high profile match, you know, against someone, you know, maybe like Randy Orton, you know, to do those things. And by the way, that's trying to make the Pride heels. No one wants to boo Bobby Lashley.
I know.
No one wants to boo the Street Profits. So their heels 1 week and the next week. Oh, yeah, we'll just absorb the baby face. Yeah. I think the Pride will win. I want the Final, and this hurts me because I'm a bigger fan of the Pride than the Final Testament. But if you're going to have a group, you got to have them win. The Profits already have some street cred. Bobby Lashley already has a fantastic resume. It does less damage. It's going to hurt either team.
Yeah.
But it does less damage for the Pride to lose than it does for the Final Testament to lose. All right. And then lastly, the main event, and we can talk about any rumors we've heard, the match that everybody's tuning in to watch, our boy Roman Reigns, who will be a champion for over 3.5 years, again, acknowledge him, versus the American Nightmare, the son of the son of a plumber, Cody Rhodes, trying to finish his story, second year in a row. Well, let's get to it. Do you have anybody, who do you think should win, Cody or Roman?
Man, Cody should win.
He should have won last year, but like I said earlier in this podcast, they delayed it a year, and they've done all the right things with delaying it a year. And also making it WrestleMania 40. There's something, by the way, fun fact. When you look at each of the WrestleManias that have ended in zero, the person walking out of the world title, whatever they call it, has been their number one babyface and their number one technical wrestler. Mm-hmm. WrestleMania 10, Bret Hart. WrestleMania 20, Chris Benoit. WrestleMania 30, Daniel Bryan. WrestleMania 40, Cody Rhodes.
Wow. Yeah.
I don't think that's accidental. I agree with you. Cody wins, I think, should happen. So now we'll fan cast. How do you see the match? So how do you see the match playing out, Cody versus Roman?
I think it's
under Bloodline rules. Under Bloodline rules.
I think you're gonna see The Rock, you're gonna see Solo, you're gonna see Jimmy, you're gonna see Jay, you're gonna see Seth.
Yep.
There's somebody is gonna turn. I think Seth. I don't think so. I don't think Seth turns.
I don't think Seth turns.
I think fans this is again. We'll
I don't love the outfits as much, but the way the fans sing his music, he's really over. Mm-hmm. So I think they're gonna keep him as a babyface. Yep.
Man, I think this is where we're gonna get our cameos. This is
facts.
I think Stone Cold is gonna be there.
Okay.
I think John Cena is gonna be there to stop the Bloodline.
Okay.
You know. I think we're going to get some old school, since there's no rules, the Bloodline. Yeah. There's more than one Bloodline in wrestling.
Yes, sir.
And I think we're going to see
really
that.
Played that up. You know, because Cody Rhodes' music is there's more than one Raw fan professional wrestling. He brings that up as his kind of shade, the Triple H and the McMahons. And they've done a good job of integrating that. And truthfully, if you look at Hall of Famers and talent, the Awahi family of The Rock, Roman Reigns, Afa Sika, the Usos, honestly, kind of forgetting her name right now. Nia Jax. I mean, mm-hmm. there's all these people that are members. By the way, if you've not seen from Major League Wrestling, Mr. Fatu, who is an awesome member, who I really hope he's not alone with Major League Wrestling. I hope he's signed with WWE. There's another cousin who is fantastic in the ring, which I really hope we get. But anyway,
Rikishi?
Yeah, imagine back to the memory I want to talk about. Imagine Umaga with Ricochet's agility, and that's who this kid is.
Yeah.
So anyway, so you're right. You see a lot of people. I have my own fan camp. I wanted to let you finish that. So you think you're going to see all these people come out, but then it results in Cody winning. Is that how you see it?
Yep.
I would agree with Bloodline rules. But here's my thing, and I hope we get it. And I'm hoping we get this because AEW contracts are somewhat flexible. I hope what we get is Cody versus Roman, Bloodline rules.
I know where you're going.
Cody
with this.
Getting ready to win. We get Jimmy, and Jimmy brings out Jay. We get Solo. Solo brings out potentially Seth. We'll see how the match happened with him and Drew the same night. Obviously, the final boss, and then what we get is Dustin Rhodes.
Yep.
Big Brother shows up, and even because I mean, and again, I don't know what his contract is with AEW. We don't see him on AEW. I don't watch really AEW. I've checked the results. We don't really see him on AEW that much. A lot of those AEW contracts are allow for people to do other shows. If I was Tony Khan, that would be the last thing I would not let that happen. Mm-hmm. But who knows? Tony Khan's also a wrestling fan. Maybe it happens. But could you imagine the American Nightmare and then his big brother shows up? We get whether he's his Gold Dust or and by the way, don't have him come out as Gold Dust.
No.
Have him come out as Dustin Rhodes.
Mm-hmm.
Whether it's the half face paint he does in AEW or it's just I'm here to save my little brother. He pops in. You know, even if it's just enough to make a distraction, maybe he doesn't do physical contact, Cody hits one crossroads, two crossroads, stands, pauses, let all the fans get ready, a third crossroads, one, two, three, Cody's your new undisputed champ. That moves Cody to SmackDown. With that being said, sir, let's talk about the rumor mill.
Yeah.
With the time we've got left, we've already gone about an hour and a half.
Yeah.
But fans, stick with us. Whether it's rumor mills or what you think happens next, WrestleMania closes. So what we have right now is Cody's walking out as the new world undisputed Universal Champion. Tell me from a rumor mill or things you think happen next. Go for it, my friend.
Man, my big thing was Stone Cold, John Cena, just because of the cryptic messages that Stone Cold has been saying.
Yes, sir.
And when Cody was being attacked, The Rock made it a point. The camera was on a truck that specifically showed them.
And Austin coming out, reinvigorating that rivalry.
Mm-hmm.
I wouldn't be surprised because, you know, he talks about he's the final boss. There's no producer. There's no vice president. And the vice president was definitely a dig at Triple H. You've got a few people. Now, Triple H has a legit heart condition that probably physical competition. Physical. I mean, they, like anything else, if you do it controlled, it can happen, but I agree with you. You probably see Austin or Triple H or maybe both. And you see Cena. I mean, you're not going to have WrestleMania 40 just because also that iconic number and XL, extra large. Yeah. You won't see Flair with AEW. You probably don't see Hogan. You definitely need Cena. You definitely need Austin. I think there's times to do that.
Maybe we'll get a Mick Foley.
Maybe we'll get a Mick Foley. I mean, you could talk about this. All those people that are sick of the bloodline. But again, my fan cast with Dustin is probably the most far-fetched.
Yeah.
Because again, it depends on his contract with AEW. But God, how cool would that be? Even if it's a one, even if he comes out, helps Cody win, and we see Dustin on the Raw after WrestleMania, and that's all we see of Dustin bounces, that's fine. But I think that would be just really cool.
Well, the fact that he would be there for his brother at WrestleMania. Yeah. I mean, he's going to be there.
Maybe just in the audience. Yeah. But the cool thing would be you've got the bloodline and that family versus the Rose and that family, and that's your main event. There's that. All right. Any thoughts about what happens? Because Roman has said in various interviews, if he loses, he's gone. So what are your thoughts on that?
Well, he'll be gone for a while.
Yeah, he's gone a lot anyway.
Yeah, I think
over his 3.5 year reign, he's only defended the title like 50 times.
Yeah,
which, from the world of wrestling, that's very few title defenses.
Yeah, I mean, especially when at least every pay per view.
Yeah,
that's 12 years.
They have almost a pay per view a month. They take a break between the Elimination Chamber in June and February, and WrestleMania, which is in April. But they have a pay per view for the most part every month, and sometimes it's not even a month between. They've had them when it's 2-3 weeks between them.
Yeah,
and the fact that he does not wrestle on most pay per views, he doesn't even appear. Not that it's added to his mystique. So again, acknowledging the Tribal Chief. I think it's added to his mystique. Cody will be a much more active champion. That's cool. We give you 3.5 years of kind of a distant champion. Cody's going to be that champion of the people. And it'd be great if Cody goes on like the first one to go, who's the new people's champ? Just a dig at The Rock. My thoughts is because The Rock's got movies coming out, so he won't be around for long. I think we will see potentially something involving The Rock and Cody. But I think Cody's first challenger, assuming that Mr. Money in the Bank doesn't try cashing in, which I don't think, I think it will be on this for the Raw title, the world title, I think it's Solo Sikoa. That furthers that bloodline feud. He doesn't lose to Solo, but maybe he defends against Solo. Because again, Roman leaves. I don't know if Roman's got movies or whatever, but Roman leaves.
Yeah.
The bloodline is still there. The final boss is still there to carry him some of the talking promo weight and goes, hey, you're going to defend against Solo. Maybe they do like a cage match or something. But Cody versus Solo. Again, I think Cody's going to have a decent reign. It won't be 3.5 years. I hope it's longer than one set of pay-per-views. His dad, Dusty, was a 3-time world champ. Dusty never had long title reigns. I hope Cody gets him gives Cody at least till Survivor Series, at least give him like 6 months.
Yeah.
And then they can do that. And maybe Roman comes back again. But the cool thing is you've got potential challengers on that brand. You've got Bobby Lashley. You've got potentially LA Knight. You know, I think he's going to be for the U.S. title. You've got, if something results in Kevin Owens turning heel, you're going to see Kevin Owens there. Obviously, Randy Orton.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you have some challengers there. All right, with that, sir, I think we have done. I'm just going to give a recap
of
the matches that we matched on. So there are, there are 13 matches. That's a lot of matches. So on night one of the 7 matches, we matched on 3, Becky versus Rhea, LWO versus Santos and Dominic, and the Bloodline versus Cody and Seth. And then on night 2, we matched on all but 2 matches. We matched on 4 of the 6. Drew versus Seth, EO versus Bayley, LA Knight versus AJ Styles, and the main event, Roman Reigns versus Cody Rhodes. So, sir, before we tie a bow on this, do you have a Better Than Us Human of the Week?
Yes, I am going to say Samantha Yates. She interviewed me for her class that I did a guest thing on, and it was a fun conversation. So I'm going to give her as my Human of the Week, and my wife, Kaylee, because yesterday
was her 40th birthday.
Happy birthday. I saw you put something on Facebook about that. That is very cool.
Yes.
And my bedroom human of the week, I got to give it up to a big, we are both big fans of this man's work. And just because he passed away on a week, we did not get the pod going. But just to give credit to, I just want to say RIP to our Iron Eagle, our officer and a gentleman, Mr. Lewis Cameron Gossett Jr. Lewis Gossett Jr. passed away on March 29th. Again, it was a week we wound up not having our podcast because of everything to do with Easter and all the things. But my bedroom human of the week is going to be Lewis Gossett Jr. We will definitely revisit things such as Iron Eagle, such as Officer and Gentleman. In fact, our buddy, a mutual friend of ours, reached out to me and just talked about how much he preferred Iron Eagle to Top Gun. I don't know if I go that far, but Iron Eagle is a hell of a flick. So we will revisit it again. RIP to Lewis Gossett Jr. Also, fun fact before we close up, the first African-American to win a supporting actor Oscar was Lewis Gossett Jr. from Officer and the Genuine.
Really?
Yes. So, and that feat was next done by Denzel, then Morgan Freeman, Mahershala Ali. I'm going to butcher that name for Moonlight.
Yeah.
But Lewis Gossett Jr. Starred it all. So, thank you to Lewis. Happy birthday to your wife. And with that, sir, why don't you lead us in closing this thing out?
All right. So I did have a couple of episodes come out of Fandemic Reviewed. Godzilla Kong, Dune, Green Arrow, number 10 with the new Dune comic book, which is actually a prequel to part one. Called House Carino. And then I got Duke, Cobra Commander, and a bunch of Star Wars stuff I'm going to start getting out there as well. If you want to, if you would like to F me, that means friend me, find me, and follow me. You can do that.
You are a very happily married man.
I know. You can tweet me at Fandemic 3. You can find me on Facebook at Fandemic, TikTok at Fandemic 1. Hear my reviews and so much more. What are you, Brian? Where can we find you?
You can find me on the Book of Faces at Brian Steven Dance. I try and keep it light and occasionally weird. Give me a like, give me a friend request, give me a follow. We're all good in the hood there, folks. And thank you again for joining us for the podcast. All right, my friend, close us up.
All right, if you want to support the show, there are several ways to do so. You can buy me a coffee at buymecoffee.com/thefandemic. Find us on Patreon at patreon.com/PVOTNFandemic. You can go to PayPal and Venmo at BradleyButin. I won't say no. Or just share the show with somebody you want to make a little more awesome. Don't forget to leave a 5-star review. Brian, what are your words of wisdom?
My words of wisdom this week and every week is please remember, never give up, never surrender. And please remember, Goonies, never say die.
If you think about it, every time you feel stupid, you just got a little smarter. And squirrels' cheeks are their nutsacks. Oh, bye-bye.
Oh, bye-bye, folks.